You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10, verse 8. I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege to be a part of these services. I know that there have been some great men of God that have stood in this place through the years, and I appreciate those great men of God that have supported the camp meeting and those that have led it through the years. And many of our dear friends are now with the Lord, and we look forward to meeting them again. But I appreciate your faithfulness in maintaining this camp meeting, and certainly if there's ever been a day that we need meetings like this, it's in our day. And I do appreciate your faithfulness, each of these churches, each of these pastors that support the meeting, and thank you so much for all that you have done, for the wonderful singing. Each night has blessed our hearts and lifted up our hearts, and I certainly do appreciate Brother Clifford. We did meet many, many years ago. I don't remember exactly how much I weighed, but I certainly do appreciate this great man of God. We've labored together many times in many places through the years, and I appreciate his faithfulness to the Lord, and it is a blessed and cherished friendship. And I do ask for the continuation of your prayers. I am grateful that God has given me a place in his kingdom, in his service. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of these services. And I certainly do pray that God will continue to bless the Cherokee County Baptist Camp Meeting. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him, in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight, ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, everything about me that's displeased in thy sight. I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Thank you for this day, for the mercies, for the blessings of it. Thank you for the wonderful singing that we've heard and the songs that have lifted up our hearts in gratitude and remembering the greatness of God. Thank you so much for this camp meeting. Thank you for every church, for every pastor that is represented. And I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. Dear God, tonight we do pray that revival will come in our Baptist churches. Lord, I know that no matter how dark the day, no matter how great the apostasy, Lord, that you can send revival. And I pray that you will revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, and sinners shall be converted. Blessing this service tonight, I pray, Lord, for that touch, that divine touch of God. I pray that you will anoint me, and I pray that you will illuminate my mind and loose my tongue. And may the gospel go forth in power and in purity. Should there be one among us tonight that is a stranger to your grace, may this be the hour of salvation. Revive those of us that are saved. Warm our hearts. And when we leave this place, may we know that God has said something to us and that God has spoken to us. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses, especially verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to speak to you about a wonderful announcement. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, the second chapter, and the 28th verse, Joel says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." And then in the book of Acts chapter 2, you find the fulfillment of these very words in verse 17. And it's to come to pass in the last verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And so the first part of Joel's prophecy has realized its partial fulfillment in the day of Pentecost. But there's a second part to this fulfillment that will come to pass. "That will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Revelation chapter 6, you find the result of this prophecy, its fulfillment. "And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was an earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the wrath of the Lamb is come, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" I do praise God that in this dispensation of grace that I was able to call upon the name of the Lord and to realize this wonderful promise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the gospel for our day. Every race, every color, it does not matter. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those that try to conceal the justice of God and deny the punishment of sin, it's not because of their great love or because of their compassion. It is unbelief. It was Christ's love for sinners that caused him to come to face the judgment of sin on the cross and in his own body bear our sins. And that's to become sin for us. And so God the Father had to turn His back upon His Son, His only begotten Son. And it was as if God hung a dark curtain around Calvary while Christ the Mighty Maker died for man, the creature sin. And out of that darkness, our blessed Lord Jesus cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But when the darkness was past and atonement was made, our Lord cried, "It is finished," and committed His Spirit to the Father. And it is finished, so that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not my opinion. That is the declaration of this book. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the devil's gospel, of course, is there is no condemnation. There's no judgment. But God's gospel, there's no condemnation to them which were in Christ Jesus. Once we were in a state of condemnation, not probation, not to see if we could attain salvation. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. And every person outside of Jesus Christ is already under condemnation. You're not going to be condemned. You're already condemned. So how wonderful is this promise? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a wonderful announcement. This is a wonderful promise. Whatever may be the terrors of judgment, and what may be the gloom of the bottomless pit, and that is the reality. Eternal darkness. And separation from God. Whatever the wrath of God involves, there's this wonderful promise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is not saving yourself with you in your own power, but an outside power. A divine power is necessary. Calling on the name of the Lord is the means of salvation. I read once when Adoniram Judson, the first missionary from America, returned after 33 and a half years to Boston, Massachusetts, his home. After 33 and a half years, he was speaking at a large church, a large congregation. And after he was finished, he spoke about 15 minutes with great pathos and a great burden. And someone said to him, "Mr. Judson, I'm so disappointed. I wanted to hear stories of your experience in a cannibalistic foreign land and all the things that you endured." But Judson said then, "I am so glad I preached the gospel. Yes, sir. For there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ." Yes, sir. Brother Clifford, I don't know how long God should allow me to sojourn on earth. But I do want to spend my last days and my last breath preaching the gospel. I hope it'll please God that I won't end up in some nursing home slobbering in my oatmeal and can't remember who I am. But it won't matter. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I had the privilege once in London to have my picture taken in the pulpit where John Newton once preached in his last years. John Newton was an older man. I can't remember his exact age. I have trouble remembering my own sometimes. But this in a Church of England, there's a wine glass pulpit that it's called, with just narrow winding steps that goes up to the top. And if you was to move a foot, you'd fall overboard, I guess. And when John Newton was an older man, he was starting up the steps one morning to the pulpit, and one of his men said, "Mr. Newton, don't you think that you're getting too old to ascend these steps and preach?" But John Newton said, "What? Shall this old farmer serving the slaves in Africa, delivered by the grace of God, ever cease to preach the grace of God?"
Yes, sir.
"Not on your life." Now, I admit, if I had to try to climb those steps today to get in that pulpit, I'd probably look worse than Joe Biden trying to get up the steps of Air Force One in a 10-mile-an-hour wind. But I do want to spend my last days proclaiming the gospel. And I do know that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I pray that to my last expiring breath that I'll be able to preach the old gospel story. Salvation by grace through faith. The security of this promise. The scripture says in the 11th verse, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now in the Bible, the word shame has an evil meaning and a divine meaning. There's shame because of sin, of course. In Genesis 2, 25, Adam and Eve, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Because at that point, they had not fallen from innocence into sin. And they possessed perfect righteousness and perfect knowledge until the moment that Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. And Adam then joined her. But in the next chapter, the 3rd verse, the 10th verse, we read, Adam, hiding from God, said to God, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Sin has brought shame to this earth. And of course, Romans 1 reminds us that the wrath of God has already been revealed from heaven. And much of the things that we see today is because of a turning from God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And I think that describes not only individual states of individuals, but it seems to be a general state of our world today, turning from God. And when you turn from righteousness, there's nowhere to go but to unrighteousness. Professing themselves wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to corruptible things, such as things that crawl in this earth, turning from God. Their foolish heart was darkened. There are those that hate and sneer at God's people and think that we are a bunch of fools, that we're illiterate. But I want to tell you that if God has saved you, that God has given you peace and righteousness, and that we're not a bunch of fools. We are wise in the fact that we were wise into salvation through Jesus Christ. But we owe all that to Calvary's Lamb. We are what we are by His grace. Romans 9:33. "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Amen. Now those that refuse God's salvation will come to the judgment in great shame. But we that are saved don't need to hang our head down in condemnation, because we have been delivered by the mighty power of God. Judgment is coming for those that are not called upon the name of the Lord. They will stand condemned and judged. But to those that are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. And what a wonderful thing it is to be set free from the bondage of sin. Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, you turn from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for His Son from heaven. That's what we're doing as the people of God. He may come tonight. And before I get the last statement out, He may come. But I do know this. He is coming again. The heart cry of God's people is, oh Lord Jesus, how long, how long? Here we hear the glad shout, Christ returneth, Christ returneth. Hallelujah. All the promises that are in our text are based upon the Old Testament promises. And the apostle wanted men to know that salvation through all the centuries, both before and since the time of Adam, has been through Jesus Christ. Every slain sacrifice, every smoking Jewish altar was just the type, a picture of the price that would be paid on Calvary. Right. I want to say that on that cross, richer and nobler blood has flown from Emmanuel's veins, so that every sinner that will plunge beneath that flood may lose their guilty stains. What think you of Christ is the question that all of us may answer and must answer. There's no help for that person that's underestimated God's exaltation of His Son. He hath given Him a name which is above every name. And one day every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Colossians 1:15-17. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth. Whether they be visible or invisible, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus, who is Lord of all, has made us that are saved free in His grace. The simplicity of His promise. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the broadest possible invitation. Whosoever. And that is a great wonder of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And its simplicity, which sets before men the open way of God.
Yes.
Young and old, educated, uneducated, to the famous, to the infamous. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that from Greenland's icy mountains to the ivory coast of Africa, from the burning, blazing sun of India to the white beaches of the South Pacific, we can give the winds a mighty voice and declare, Jesus says, Jesus says, Jesus says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The broadest possible invitation. Men and women need to hear the gospel. Not jokes, not poetry, but the old story. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the life-giving gospel of the bleeding Lamb of God. From, well, what a wonderful privilege it is to declare this gospel. That's the easiest possible condition. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Any person in distress who opens his mouth and his heart for mercy in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, calling on the name of the Lord is not so much a verbal expression. It is a desire of a broken heart that has been convicted and convinced of sin and led to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the work of the Holy Ghost. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And this cry comes from a heart that has been broken over sin. And as a result, cries to the Lord. As a matter of fact, if a person is under the conviction of sin and sees themselves as a sinner and looks to Christ, the only Savior, I don't believe you can pray the wrong prayer. I don't believe you can say the wrong thing. As I've already said, if I had to tell you what I prayed the night the Lord saved me, I could not do it if I depended on it. But I know one thing. When I got home, Christ was in me. When I got up the next morning, it was in me. And I woke up this morning, it's in me. And tonight, it's in me. And if I get up in the morning, He'll be in me. And if I don't get up in the morning, I'll be with Him. In Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Two things just that you must know that you're a sinner. Number one, that you are a sinner. And that Christ is the only Savior. That's the simplest possible supplication. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I just heard today that His Holiness, the Pope, said that salvation is through the church, the Catholic Church, of course, and that every man and every person must find their own way of salvation, their own way to God. It's not so. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you've done, whatever color your skin is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that name shall endure forever. Calling on the name of the Lord involves heart and mind and soul. Romans says, we believe on Him that was delivered for our offenses. And that was raised for our justification. We believe in Jesus Christ. And on Jesus Christ, that has performed the work of salvation. So, and whosoever shall call on Him shall be saved. It is the greatest salvation possible. Shall be saved. Every white-robed saint in heaven will testify that salvation is the work of God. Salvation to our God, which ruleth and reigneth. The Bible declares in the text that I've read that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, they shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be condemned. Whosoever believeth on Him, there is no more condemnation. That was true for that Philippian jailer. One moment the suicidal sword was in his hand. But the next moment, after conviction and faith in Christ, and he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there was joy and there was peace in his heart. At the very moment that he was going to take his life, God in mercy brought conviction of sin and brought him to the place of repentance, to that dying thief on the cross. The moment that he looked at Jesus Christ, there was no condemnation. And to every sinner that looks to Him, there's no condemnation. And I want to say that the awareness of this glorious liberty is one of the greatest forces that's ever been unloosed in the life of a believer. I know I'm saved. I know my sins are pardoned. That I know because whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there are those that sometimes criticize the emotional outbreak, as they call it, of the saints that rejoice in Christ. And I know that there's a counterfeit religious ecstasy. I think there's two ways to tell when a person's praising God in the Holy Ghost. I believe, number one, it always blesses saints. And it convicts sinners as well. And if it don't do that, that person may sound like a cracked bell. But if God saved you, there's jumping joy in our heart. Joy unspeakable. Now, we don't have to apologize for praising God. As a matter of fact, we're far, far behind in praising God. And if God has saved you, there's unspeakable joy in your heart. Some time ago, one of our little boys at the church where our pastor brought his friend with him one Sunday morning. He'd never been to our church. And after preaching, he said to me, came up to shake hands, and he said, the first thing he said was, "Why do you yell so loud?" And I said to that little fella, "You know when people go to ball games and their team wins, how they hoop and holler, throw caps and pitch all kinds of fits?" I said, "The glorious gospel that I preach is so wonderful. I can't help but be thrilled about it. And that's the reason I shout. And that's the reason I yell. And that's the reason that I'm rejoicing tonight. There's therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus."